We heard from the code counselor last time about the way OSCCS denies appeals and railroads students, particularly those charged with protest offenses, using the threat of harsh interim restrictions to force them into supposedly voluntary alternative resolutions. Now we're here again, and the administration is trying to rewrite the rules again, packing the review committee with administrators and leaving the final decision-making in the power in the hands of Ryan Lombardi, the same Ryan Lombardi at the back of the room who has never granted a single appeal in the history of this disciplinary process. All right, didn't want to hear us, I guess. Shame. Will this assembly again abdicate its responsibility to the student body, water down its condemnation in the face of administration flouting shared governance in the hopes of appeasing them or currying favor? That's what some on the assembly seem to want to do. President Zora Durham, Finance VP Hayden Watkins, you have been two of the leading voices trying to water down this resolution. So I'll put the question to you directly. Whose side are you on? Are you on the side of your fellow students fighting to express themselves, or with our authoritarian administration, which seeks to change the rules at every turn to repress us? To you and everyone else on the assembly, pick a side, stand with the students, and pass Resolution 10 unamended today. Thank you.
I'd like to make a quick point of order. Why are we limiting the speaking time or the time for public comment when, if my memory serves me correctly, during the athlete pre-enroll resolution, we let them talk for 2 hours straight?
If you would like to motion to extend
public comment indefinitely until all speakers are finished.
One second. Is there dissent? Seeing there's dissent, so we'll vote on that motion. We have the room until 8 p.m. So no matter what, we'll be the room until 7:45. So we can only extend to 7:45. That's the only restriction we have. So there's dissent. So we now need to vote on the proposal to extend speaking time indefinitely / till we get kicked out. All those in favor of extending the speaking time?
Point of inquiry, would we be able to change, like, in the, like, with the athlete, we got to change to, what's the room next to, what's the building next to PSB?
No, we don't have a reservation in place anywhere.
Would we as a body be able to, like, meet somewhere else, like, without a booking? Like, there's no shot we can't find a classroom on campus to vote something through.
Ask Eric, honestly. I don't know. All right, anyway, all those in favor of extending speaking time?
Wait, can we wait until we get an answer for that?
Eric, can we move to a different room?
I don't honestly, everybody hear me? I don't honestly know. I'm going to think probably not, because to reconstitute everybody, to pull back up Zoom and to find a place that also will have audience and can conduct business in, I don't really think that's going to happen in this quick of a turnaround for tonight. We can build in some extra time for next week's meeting, if that's a acceptable solution. But as far as finding another place that's going to accommodate us tonight after we leave here at 8, I wouldn't bank on it, in other words.
Okay. All those in favor of extending public comment indefinitely? Okay, yeah, well, seven in favor. All opposed, saying speaking time. Nine opposed, all abstaining. Okay, this motion failed. Okay, we may begin when you are ready. I will gavel once at 30 seconds and twice at 10 seconds.
Hello, my name is Leslie Monter, and today I speak not only as the chair of public relations for Alana, but as a fellow student leader representing many of our umbrella organizations. And on behalf of my community, we strongly oppose the Finance Committee's proposal to cut Alana's byline allocation by 29.29%. because doing so would fracture Alana's mission of serving and funding cultural programming at Cornell. In the face of rising inflation, thousands of students would lose vital spaces for dialogue, community, growth, and representation of Alana's fundings were reduced. And these are not abstract ideals, but defining aspects of the Cornell experience. The justification provided for this reduction is to encourage Alana's organizations to rely more on the Student Activities Funding Commission, a primary board. But while our petition, which will be read later this evening, explains the many flaws in the strategy, allow me to highlight the biggest one. SAFC funds everything on the same level of importance, while Alana is the only byline funded organization to prioritize and protect cultural programming above all else. Undermining our capacity now, at a time when the world shows us the daily need for cultural competency and intergroup understanding, would be a step backwards for Cornell. So no matter the finance committee's intentions, the message that this decision would send is that Alana's mission can be celebrated in words and in mission pamphlets, but abandoned in practice. That message would discourage our existing 138 organizations from expanding and newer ones from taking root. We also don't agree with the narrative that the reduction would reduce the burden on Alana, as the committee's recommendation reads, because we have never considered our work to be a burden. We all choose to be a part of this community, and we all wholeheartedly enjoy being able to give back in whatever way possible. So we urge the student assembly tonight to think back to the cultural nights, the performances, the showcases, and the celebrations you have attended, and to remember how alive the campus feels with our varied organizations giving it their all. Allow Alana to continue to support them with our funding so that we can sustain and strengthen the communities that make Cornell whole. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Afshin, and I'm the co-president of Alana and the ex-director of the International Students Association. I want to start by thanking everyone who has shown up to support Cornell's many amazing communities today. It's so great to see our strength in numbers. I echo everything that was said by the speakers who went before me and want to speak on behalf of another community that's crucial to Cornell's campus. It's international students. We all know the level of pressure that international students currently face, with visa restrictions, the developing H-1B pressures, and the US administration's constant threats and dismissal of our importance to America's universities. Cornell cannot be world-class if it is not open to the world. And being open to the world means supporting every student across it who trust Cornell to protect them. This begins at the very initial level of supporting our programming and our attempts to share internationalism with Cornell's campus. The International Students Association is vital to this function, but the Finance Committee has recommended a cut in their byline funding. Currently, ISA cannot fulfill half of the funding requests we receive, and with the new budget cuts proposed by the Student Assembly's Finance Committee, that number will fall even further. We'll be able to support less than 40% of the requests. For many of us, the events we host aren't just programs. They're how we stay connected to where we came from and how we share that identity with the community we're trying to build here. Taking away that support means taking away our international identity, and we thus strongly oppose the Finance Committee's recommendation. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Musa Jallo, and I am co-president. And I am co-president of BSU and president of PAMFTA, both organizations that would be affected by these proposed funding cuts. I can speak for every single student leader in this space when we say that it is an honor and a privilege to serve our community. It is a point of pride. And we vest power in the student assembly. We work with them, we endorse them, we support you all in the interest of cultivating that community and supporting it, every single pocket of community there is on this wonderful campus. So for the notion of budget cuts to even be proposed in a time where community is even more important than ever, for hundreds of students to have to show up and show you all what these cuts would look like and how many people you would actually be affecting is deeply upsetting. Deeply upsetting. And especially as someone who works with so many wonderful people to create community and to do what we can to make people feel at home, we are first and foremost servants of the community. And I implore the Student Assembly, as a body that has been elected to support the community, to reflect on what that means and what that looks like. In a time where we are looking to have more funding and we are looking to grow our communities, this is deeply wrong and disrespectful to all of the work that everyone in this room does.
Good afternoon. My name is Xavier D'Assan. I currently serve as the Executive Vice President for the Interfraternity Council, and I'm here to advocate for the Multicultural Greek Fraternal Council due to their recent byline funding cuts by the Finance Committee. I would like to take a moment to talk about how MGFC has not only enriched our campus, but also embodies the spirit of what it means to be part of Fraternal's culture. One of the reasons stated for why the funding was cut for MGFC was because the finance committee believes that IFC and MGFC are the same. However, I want to represent IFC's continued commitment to the MGFC and urge the need for continued increases in funding to support them. Today, I'll first go over what makes MGFC unique, their differences with the IFC, and their continued history at Cornell. First, I want to say that MGFC is a platform for underrepresented students to find belonging, leadership, and pride in their identities. They were founded to create spaces where members of historically marginalized groups could thrive, often where spaces did not welcome them. Members of the MGFC provide commitment to the values that make Cornell diverse, inclusive, and united. Today, the MGFC gives students of color, first-generation students, and other underrepresented groups the opportunity to lead, build community, and be seen. Beyond their individual chapters, MGFC hosts some of the largest and most engaging cultural events on campus. For example, there's Yard Show coming up during Family Weekend and Greek Freak in the spring. These are events that bring everyone from the Greek and non-Greek community at Cornell together. Particularly, I want to emphasize that the IFC is different from the MGFC, and in general, IFC is run separately and is self-funded by the chapters within IFC. MGFC continues to strengthen the campus culture through creativity, education, and connection. They foster a culture at Cornell, which makes us unique. Additionally, the MGFC plays a foundational role in the history of Cornell. Many of the MGFC chapters were founded here at Cornell or have deep historical ties. That means that when we fund MGFC, we are not just supporting our student organizations, we are investing in a continued distinct historical culture at Cornell, which advances leadership across generations. These students give back to Cornell and the community, which ripple beyond their characters. They have continued impact and require continued investment. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Student Assembly members. My name is Vinicio Isaiah Bautista Cavarillo, and I currently serve as the Vice President of Finance for the Multicultural Greek and Fraternal Council and the Vice President of Cornell Asian Pacific Student Union, a sub-organization of ALANA. I have proudly served on both executive boards for 2 years, and in that time, I have witnessed firsthand the transformative impact of our organizations across Cornell's campus. MGFC and ALANA are not just councils. We are the heartbeat of cultural representation and inclusion at this university. Every event we host, every program we fund, and every initiative we organize exists to uplift underrepresented voices and provide spaces where students of color can feel seen, valued, and celebrated. To propose a decrease of MGFC and ALANA's funding is not simply just a financial decision. It is a direct attack on the visibility, sustainability, and empowerment of marginalized communities at Cornell. This cut would not just limit programming. It would undermine years of progress, erase opportunities for cultural education, and silence the platforms that allow our diverse student body to thrive. You are not merely reducing numbers on a spreadsheet, you are dismantling the foundations of inclusion and belonging that councils like ours have tirelessly fought to build. You are cutting funding from our 15 organizations under MGFC and 70 plus sub-organizations from CAPSU. At a predominantly white institution where students of color are already forced to carve out our own spaces, this decrease in funding is not only a grave insult, but a blatant disregard for the work, effort, and passion that goes into uplifting our communities. While the university claims to value diversity and inclusion, actions like this tells a very different story, one of neglect, dismissal, and inequity. The growth of MGFC and Alana's organizations over the past years is not accidental. It reflects the commitment, leadership, and engagement of students who believe in fostering unity and cultural pride. Our events bring people together, educate the campus community, and create environments where multiculturalism is not just discussed, but celebrated and lived. Cutting our funding tells every student in these spaces, in this room, that their cultures, their traditions, and their contributions are not worth investing in. This is more than a budget cut. It is a moral failure. Cornell should be championing councils like MGFC and Alana, not undermining them. You should be investing more, not less, in the organizations that make this campus truly diverse, inclusive, and representative of the student body it claims to support. By stripping away our resources, you are stripping away our voices, and we will not stay silent while the work of so many is dismissed in the name of financial efficiency. We demand that you accept our petition immediately and recognize that what you are cutting is not just funding, it is our ability to exist, to express, and to empower.
Hi everyone, my name is Sean Jay and I'm co-president of La Asociación Latina.
My name is Ava. I am vice president of public relations for La Asociación Latina. I'm here tonight because I care deeply about the future of our communities on this campus, and right now that future is being threatened. Let's start with the facts. The student activity funding allocations show that slope day and club sports are receiving an increase of over $306,000, while Alana, ISA, MGFC, and the class councils, the organizations that uplift our cultural, identity-based, and student-led communities, are facing cuts totaling over $148,000. That's not just numbers on a spreadsheet. That's fewer cultural events, that's less funding for spaces that help marginalized students feel seen, supported, and celebrated. It's a statement of whose voices matter on this campus and whose don't. And in a moment like this, when the Trump administration is attacking Latinos, immigrants, and people of color across the nation, Cornell should be standing with its underrepresented students, not turning its back on them. Alana is not just a fund, it's the lifeline of our communities. It supports dozens of cultural organizations, from La Asociación Latina to BSU to CAPSU and more. It gives us the ability to build community, celebrate our cultures, and speak our truth. So tonight, I'm urging everyone here to vote no on Finance Committee recommendation. If anything, we should be increasing Alana's funding in supporting of restoring and protecting Alana funding. But our fight doesn't end with funding. We also need to talk about the Student Code of Conduct and Resolution 10. Cornell has a long history of student activism, one of the most defining moments being the Willard Strait Hall takeover in 1969, when Black students demanded their rights, safety, and representation on this campus. That moment changed Cornell forever, and it taught us something crucial, that the safety, rights, and dignity of students must never be up for negotiation. Yet today, we are watching the university roll back on the very principles of fairness and due process that generations before us fought for. Resolution 10 is about protecting students' fundamental rights to ensure that any student accused of a violation has access to fair due process, that no one's fate should rest in the hands of a single administrator or judge. How can Cornell claim to be both the judge and the victim? In cases that directly involve the university, how can an institution fairly adjudicate when it has a stake in the outcome? That's not justice. That's a dangerous concentration of power. We must vote yes on Resolution 10, unamended, to keep Cornell accountable, transparent, and fair. Students deserve a system that protects their rights, not one that undermines them. And when we look at all of this together, the funding cuts, the attacks on due process, the statements from members on this very student assembly who've shown to believe a career on ICE is a legitimate opportunity for students, it's hard not to feel like we're fighting on multiple fronts. It feels like we're battling not just national hostility, but institutional indifference right here on our own campus. So yes, we will fight, we will organize, because our communities have always fought to exist and we're not about to stop now. Vote no on the Finance Committee recommendation for Alana. Vote yes on Resolution 10, unamended, to fairness and due process. Thank you.
So, to echo everything that Ava has said, I want to speak today as an individual, removing myself as co-president of LAL. Upon matriculation to Cornell, I have never felt more in community than within my organizations. As a member of Sabor Latino, CUSLAR, LAL, PRSA, and an intern at the Latino Studies Program Center, I find myself immersed in this community, a thriving and strong one that's already fought tooth and nail to have the visibility that we have now. If our funding boards can hardly meet our demands, how are we supposed to meet the demands of our members? To date, our community has been targeted, threatened, time and time again, robbed of resources, not to mention Owati being renamed, and the LSP being slashed in funds. Today, I again need to beg those chosen to represent me to protect the space that we deserve. The fact that I need to be here speaks enough about the dysfunctional assembly, disconnected from student needs, and lacking the sense to act as my representative. Alana funds $15,000 to LAL, all of which is poured into the student body as funds for basic needs, community dinners and social events, promoting unity across diasporas and disciplines. You threaten to cut thousands from a cultural funding board now when our histories are poised to be eradicated from this country. When what we need more now than ever is community. And for what? More money for Slope Day? I urge the assembly to protect Alana, to protect students now while we're all under threat by this administration, by our federal government. The admin won't listen to us, you won't listen to us, then who will? Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Aisha Hama, and I'm here to represent the South Asian Council, also known as SEC. SEC is the umbrella organization for 19 South Asian student groups at Cornell. We serve to both unify and advocate for South Asian identity representation and issues on campus. We organize some of the largest and most attended cultural events on campus, such as Mock Shadi and Mock Mandi, which celebrate diverse South Asian traditions, bringing hundreds of students together who look forward to them every year. We also host advocacy events like Chine Chats and Daisy's Deconstructed, which provide spaces to explore significant historical events, current issues, and pressing topics within the South Asian community, fostering understanding and all of this funding also enables us to support our 19 sub-organizations, who in turn organize many events each semester that further enhance Cornell's commitment to inclusion and cultural learning. SEC has already significant budget cut this year, from $25,000 to $15,000. Any further cuts to Alana's funding would severely restrict our ability to continue operating at the scale and quality that our community relies on. We understand that the intent behind Alana's budget cut is to encourage organizations to affiliate with SAFC and utilize their funding. However, SAFC already funds nearly 750 undergraduate organizations, making their resources more broadly distributed, and does not prioritize intercultural funding over other make up any reductions in our Alana allocation make it extremely difficult for us to continue providing that the South Asian community depends. Due to this very reason, a reduction in Alana's budget would directly harm SEC and many bring together Salisbury culture. It would weaken the very diversity and intercultural engagement that are central to our mission. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tanya Revalo, and I am the co-VP of Public Relations for Mecha de Cornell. Alana is a board designed to provide crucial financial assistance to a myriad of cultural organizations on our campus. To reduce its funding is a direct attack on the efforts of these organizations, whom amidst the deliberate suppression of our voices by the Trump administration, have made the spaces students of colors need. Umbrella organizations like BSU, LAL, and ISA were created to empower students from marginalized communities, yet they are now being forced to diminish their efforts in such a violent political climate. In reducing Alana's funding, Mecha de Cornell faces threat to our freedom of speech and thus the elimination of Latinx political discourse on our campus. We lose our ability to share our culture and unique contributions to an institution that supposedly prides itself in any person, any study. Our funding makes the school's motto possible. Cornell would not be the institution it is today without the voices of students from backgrounds such as ours. The very place you are sitting in as our student elected representatives and the student code of conduct our school administration is threatening to dismantle is a result of Black activists and allies. We, as a president of the 1993 Latino Day Hall takeover, have protected our people through Know Your Rights movements, events on Latinx identity, and have ensured that despite these attempts of erasure, we belong here. You would not be here if it were not for us, because we fight tooth and nail for our student rights. The SAF funding increase for Slope Day and club sports totals $360,000. And the cuts to Alana, ISA, MDFC, and class councils total $148,000. If the 1993 Day Hall takeover has taught us anything, it is that Latino Cornelians, and by extension, every student of color on this campus, is not afraid to raise their voice against an injustice. Today, I stand in front of a cowardly student assembly as a proud Mexican-American student. This new policy will indirectly feed into the festering fascism on our campus, but instead of fostering spaces of discussion that are necessary for our campus, Mecha de Cornell unfortunately finds itself in the position to shame the decisions of the people that supposedly represent us. How are you going to look at Black and Brown students and be like, yes, even with your people being the scapegoat of this country, I am going to also cut your club funding. Thank you.
Hello, student assembly members. My name is Thomas Kloh, and I'm the president of the Multicultural Greek and Fraternal Council. This is my fourth year in the MGFC community and my third year on the executive board. Through this role and my past presidency of CAPSU under Alana, I've seen firsthand the dedication, creativity, and resilience of students who not only meet Cornell's academic standards, but also carry the responsibility of preserving and sharing their cultures with the entire campus. MGFC represents 15 organizations founded on service, cultural pride, and social justice. We are not some stereotypical social Greek life organization. Our councils were created when students of color were excluded from traditional spaces, and we continue to exist because the need for representation equity endures. That's why the proposed 55% reduction in our byline funding is more than a budget line. It is a symbolic decision that diminishes the value of multicultural Greek life at Cornell, and a choice you may not to recognize the tireless work of the students who build bridges across this campus. I want to be clear that I am not here to beg you for money or recognition. I'm here to demand equity. Equity means acknowledging the historical and ongoing barriers that organizations like ours face. It means understanding that multicultural councils were not formed out of the convenience, but out of necessity, because students of color were once excluded from the very spaces that now question our legitimacy. Equity means recognizing that while our chapters may be small in number, our impact can be seen across this campus. We do more with less every day by balancing academics, service, leadership, and advocacy, because we believe in the importance of culture and community on this campus. The assumption that our events are not public or not well advertised is incorrect and completely ignorant. Our programming is consistently open to all students, widely promoted across social media, listservs, and cross-council partnerships, and intentionally designed to educate and include. Just in the past week, chapters hosted events for suicide prevention, hygiene and clothing donations, dialogue on breaking toxic cycles, and workshops on empowering community. These are not insular gatherings. They are acts of service and education that align with Cornell's mission of any person, any study. We are not asking for special treatment. We are asking for equitable treatment that reflects scale and significance of our impact. And now I want to take this moment to honestly speak very candidly. I don't understand how you have the audacity to reduce my funding by 55% when during my byline presentation, you were passing out and eating food, using your personal devices to do anything but look at my spreadsheets or look at my presentation. And not only that, but your members were putting their head down on their table like we didn't matter. And yes, we have pictures of all of this happening. This is ridiculous.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, a member organization of MGFC and BSU, in response to the proposed budget cuts. While I understand the committee's responsibility to ensure fairness and transparency in student activity fee allocations, the rationale provided overlooks the unique and historic role that MGFC organizations play on Cornell's campus. MGFC organizations are not merely social clubs. They are service-driven, culturally grounded organizations that provide mentorship, community service, and campus programming that directly benefit the wider Cornell community. Our events, ranging from voter registration drives and scholarship fundraisers, are intentionally designed to foster inclusivity and engagement. These programs reach across all demographics, strengthening the social fabric of the university. Moreover, comparing MGFC organizations to IFC and Panhellenic organizations overlooks key differences in our missions. While traditional Greek life gets more focus and attention on campus, multicultural fraternities and sororities emphasize service, mentorship, and cultural awareness. These are vital contributions to the Cornell community that deserve institutional support, not reduction. To move forward with these cuts would not just harm MGFC, it would expose a contradiction at the heart of Cornell's stated values. This university often speaks about inclusion and uplifting marginalized communities as vital commitments, yet this decision would directly undercut the very organizations that have embodied those ideals for generations. MGFC and its member organizations have filled the gaps that an institution itself once left unaddressed, creating spaces of belonging, leadership, and service when few others would. To now penalize these efforts under the guise of fairness or visibility is not only unjust, it is insulting to the history and labor of the past students who have built this community. Reducing our funding sends a message that the cultural and service-oriented work of multicultural organizations is optional and inconsequential. I urge this committee to reflect deeply on what that message says about Cornell and to reconsider before allowing this decision to erode the very principles this university claims to stand.
Hi, everyone. My name is Natalie Maloon, and I'm a part of the MGFC organization. And I just wanted to give a very clear overview of what MGFC is, because I feel like there is a misinterpretation of what MGFC is. MGFC stands for Multicultural Greek Fraternal Council, and is made up of three sub-councils: MPHC, which is Historically Black Sororities and Fraternities, NAFA, which is Historically Latino Sororities and Fraternities, and NAPA, which is Historically Asian Sororities and Fraternities.
All of these organizations recognize the cultural and traditions of these communities and shape them to be significant within the Cornell community. Specifically, three organizations under MGFC were founded on Cornell's campus, one of them being Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the first Black three-letter organization ever to be created, one of which whose student assembly member is on currently right now. And so when we talk about representation and we talk about what it means to be a part of MGFC, it means showing up in spaces where sometimes people are not going to like you and not going to understand you, but it means representing your culture in the best way you can be. Understanding additionally what Student Assembly has said before about things not being public facing when it comes to MGFC, I just wanna talk about a few of events that have happened that are public facing, which I have not seen any Student Assembly members at. One being my sorority's programming about studying and advancing scholarship among students, and understanding archives and understanding how Black women impact Cornell, and understanding also how we can use service to advance the Ithaca community, one of which we had yesterday, the clothing and hygiene drive for the Women's Opportunity Center. Not only my chapter, but we also are talking about multiple MGFC chapters that are currently doing programming as we speak today, trying to highlight things that other organizations do not talk about. So when we understand this and we understand the intensity of it and the importance of it, we must understand that reducing our funds by 55% is not only damaging to our community as people of color, but damaging to the Cornell community in general. When you take away funding from these organizations, who will do the work? Please name a sorority and fraternity who is going to do the work that MGFC is not doing right now. So I will leave it like this. MGFC is more than just a council. It is a family that is deeply impacted by this decision and is deeply embedded in the Cornell community. Speaking for my chapter, my soror Kimberly Crenshaw, my soror trustee Linda Gatsby, and my soror Dominique Thorne have all used MGFC as a way to uplift themselves and uplift the community. By taking away our money, you are preventing students who are currently on this campus from doing that. And so you have to reflect on that on yourselves, and I don't have to do that. Thank you.
Hi everyone, my name is Sumitra and I'm on the executive board of Progressives at Cornell. I'd first like to speak out against any cuts to Alana's funding or MGFC's funding. As a student of color on this campus, I attend events like Holi, which is funded by South Asian Council, which is funded by Alana. These events, organized by the incredible Alana organizers in this room today, allow me and people like me to build community. And that's something that all Cornell students deserve to have. I'm also here to speak in support of Resolution 10 about the Code of Conduct. I oppose any amendments to this resolution, including any amendments that seek to cut graduate students or faculty from this proposal for the Conduct Revisions Committee. I'd also like to note that the students here at this campus today turn their backs on Kolokoff and Lombardi because they're not buying their propaganda, and neither should you when you're making the decision about how to vote on this resolution. In February of this year, I was arrested by CUPD and subsequently charged by OSCCS with violations related to my participation in the Statler Career Fair protest against L3 Harris and Boeing, who actively facilitate the genocide of the Palestinian people. When I was arrested, I was woken up to pounding on my door by a CUPD officer, Jeff Northrup. He tried to question me without reading me my Miranda rights. He made multiple attempts to invite himself inside of my dorm room to question me privately, which I declined. He entered my room and watched me pull my clothes on over my pajamas before handcuffing me. The experience of being arrested by CUPD is traumatizing for many people. It's not something I want our current conduct procedures to incentivize, and right now they do. These conduct procedures have created an extrajudicial legal system where Cornell University's police department is always the winner. My charges were dropped last week, and as far as I'm aware, every single person who's been arrested by CUPD for protest-related activity in the last year and a half has had their charges dropped. Despite this fact, CUPD can still punish us for these alleged actions through coercive student code of conduct procedures. They have no incentive to stop arresting people on bogus charges that they know the Ithaca City Court will not prosecute. Today, I was exercising my right to protest outside of Day Hall, a protest that President Kolakoff said was a good example of free expression, and CUPD officers threatened to arrest a student for using amplified sound. Shame. And when I asked if we were allowed to continue chanting with just our voices and no amplified sound, as per our right under the expressive activity policy, an officer told me I should stop protesting and start studying more. These are the people that enforce these codes, the CUPD officers on this campus. They make it very clear that they do not like us as student protesters. They don't even like us as students. And through the current code, they have the ability to retaliate against us with no checks on their power. As a student, I want my student assembly to stand up for me, not to be cowed by administrators. So do not vote to cut Alana's funding. Do not vote to cut the multicultural frats fundings, and vote yes on Resolution 10. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Naomi Hernandez, and I'm the vice president of the new chapter of Omega Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated. I also serve as our community service chair, public relations chair, historian, and secretary, alongside my one other sister on campus, and we work very hard to plan events and programming that uplift, educate, and unite both the Cornell and Greater Ithaca community. There are a lot of misconceptions about MGFC, but what often gets overlooked is the incredible impact our organizations have, not just within Cornell, but far beyond it. For example, we've hosted a self-defense workshop alongside Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated to help women on campus feel safe and empowered. I recently attended an event hosted by Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, where we created care packages for homeless women in the Ithaca area. Delta Sigma Theta just led a clothing and hygiene drive for the Women's Opportunity Center. La Unidad Latina, Lambda Upsilon Lambda Fraternity Incorporated recently hosted a welcome back barbecue at the Alternative School in Ithaca, where my organization alongside Latinas Promoviendo Comunidad, Lambda Pi Chi Sorority Incorporated, and Lambda Theta Phi Incorporated, Fraternity Incorporated, engaged with local families and donated school supplies and backpacks to students. I wish I could speak more on the amazing programming every organization here has hosted, but for the sake of time, I'll move on. I also want to remind everyone why our organizations exist in the first place. Historically, Black and Brown students were not allowed to join fraternities and sororities. In response, they built their own. The first Black fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, was founded here at Cornell. Their courage created a domino effect that allowed organizations like mine to exist today. MGFC centers empowerment, purpose, and community. Every chapter here at MGFC carries that legacy forward by creating safe spaces for students of color and by serving the people around us. So when you consider cutting our funding in half, please understand that what really means, it means fewer opportunities for underrepresented students to lead, fewer community service projects and programming that uplift Ithaca families and students, and fewer spaces where students of color can grow, serve, and give back. MGFC organizations don't just exist on this campus, we enrich it. We are not a financial burden. We are a moral investment in Cornell's promise of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Eva Vanderpool, and I'm the co-president for Black Students United. Okay, so I was gonna come up here and I was gonna talk about all of the amazing events that all of these organizations behind me have in hopes of trying to tug a few heartstrings of yours to try to get you to vote in our favor. But I really can't bring myself to do that because I can't bring myself to feel like I need to convince you of our right to be here or our importance as organizations. That is because you, as Student Assembly, work for us. You are supposed to be a representative of the needs of the student body. You have vowed to serve us, and we have been here telling you exactly how to do that. So I ask, if you decide to do otherwise, who is it that you truly serve and represent? I know that as a student leader, I work not for myself, but for those behind me right now and for those who couldn't even be here today. I work, and we all work, because people who look like us had to fight unthinkable battles just for these spaces to exist. So when you, the people who are supposed to speak for us and for our needs, make decisions based on false information about what resources our organizations can receive, I fear you are no different from those who attempted to stop these organizations from ever existing in the first place. I don't have much else to say that hasn't been said already. So all I'll do is ask you to consider your responsibilities as our representatives. You have an opportunity to show cultural organizations what we mean to you. So I urge that you all decide wisely. Thank you.
We have time within our agenda for one more speaker.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Henderson. I serve as the chapter vice president of the Alpha Chapter of Alpha Pi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. I also come to you today as the co-political action chair for Black Students United. I'm going to talk about two things, Alana and MGFC. I think we've been talking very broadly, but I want to make it very, very specific for you all. With regards to Alana, let's talk about the history of what Alana is. Does anyone here know what Alana actually stands for? Alana stands for African, Latino, Asian, and Native American Program. That's the core of what Alana is. I want you all to tell me and tell the people behind me why those groups are not worth the money we deserve. Okay, another thing when it comes to Alana, their charge and their mission statement. Alana initiates and encourages programs and services that contribute to a broader understanding of diversity. Alana serves the multicultural community by providing programming that fosters awareness of and appreciation for diversity and multiculturalism. In addition, Alana seeks to allocate funds to those registered student organizations that provide such programming. So when you all come to us and tell us, oh, we want to alleviate the burden, that's not the burden. You're trying to change what Alana is, and that's simply wrong. Next, when it comes to MGFC, as you all have heard, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated started here at Cornell, and we are the first Black Greek-led organization. So when you all tell us as MGFC that we're not worth the money, in fact, we're less half the money that we've been getting, I think that's crazy, and I think you should too. Again, let's make this more specific for you all. You all are here, your student assembly members. That came as a result of the Willis Straight Hall takeover. Alpha Chapter was a key contributor to that takeover, and as a result of that, that was the first time my chapter was suspended from Cornell University. My brothers fought so you all could have a seat here. And Zora, when it comes to you, one of your predecessors, his name is Louis Tobias, the first Black student assembly president. That's a brother of my fraternity. So I want you to think, how can you tell us that we're not worth what we deserve when you all are only sitting here because of what we did for you all? And then again, when we come to, I know we've heard a lot of MGFC organizations talk about what we do for the community. I want to make it broad and more historical for you. When it comes to, I see women here. Cornell's dorms were segregated. Only white women were allowed to live on campus. In 1912, a member of my fraternity wrote an essay to the president of Cornell. It blew up. It got to national news and in the NAACP. As a result of that, women's dorms on campus were desegregated. We have the takeover, like I've spoken about, and we also have things like right now. I know that some of you are involved in other sororities, specifically Alpha Chi Omega. And to this idea that MGFC is only for us and whatnot, that's wrong. My fraternity hosted a Show Like an Alpha event where we raised fundraising dollars for different community organizations. In that, we had two members of Alpha Chi Omega on my team, so there is no claim that we'd only support each other and that we're exclusive or whatever. We support everyone, we're here for everyone. That's why we were made, that's what we're gonna keep doing. To take away our money is wrong, and you have no right to do that. Thank you.
The only way to extend public comment is with a motion to do so from one of the parties who did not vote in favor of the initial motion to extend. So it has to be a member of, like, essentially the losing side of the initial. Okay. 5 minutes? Okay. Is there a second? Is there dissent? Okay, seeing none, 5 more minutes. There are two of you, so you'll get 6, but yes.
My name is Abraham Eilman. I serve as the co-president of Men of Color in Athletics and the strategic lead for the Nigerian Student Association here at Cornell. In both of these roles, I've seen firsthand what community and representation looks like when they're given a chance to thrive. Most importantly, I've had the immense privilege of witnessing how essential Alana has been in the formation of these invaluable spaces. For years, Alana has not only supported the Nigerian Student Association financially, but has been a backbone for our ability to create spaces where students who might otherwise feel unseen can gather, celebrate, and belong. From cultural showcases that bring hundreds together to smaller moments of mentorship and care, Alana has always shown up, not just with funding, but with guidance, collaboration, and a deep belief in our mission to tie Cornell together. When I think of the work we do at MoCA, at NSA, and across all organizations represented here, it isn't just about events or budgets. It's about connection. It's about that freshman who finds community through a dance night, or the senior who finally feels their culture has a place on this campus that often feels very isolated. Those are moments that Alana makes possible. A 30% cut to Alana's funding isn't just a financial decision. It's a decision that would rip it through every corner of this campus where students rely on community to survive and succeed. So today, I ask you not only to see the numbers, but to see the people behind them. See the organizations, the friendships, and the sense of home that Alana helps to build. That's what's at stake. Thank you for your time and considering what Alana truly means to Cornell.
My name is Spencer Crank, and I'm here this afternoon on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union at Cornell University. Now, first I want to note like why we came up here together today, and it's simple, because this assembly did not want to hear the voices of everyone that should be heard today. Moreover, it's in recognition of the principle that an injustice anywhere for any organization, whether it's multicultural or civil liberties focused, is an injustice against all of us. When organizations like the Cornell Progressives are out there protesting weekly in support of a good cause, and this administration tries to crack down against them, all Cornelians should speak out against that as an exercise of all of our rights to speak. No student should be punished for protest. No student should be silenced for speaking out. For the soul of this campus, for our legacy of being radical and a radical institution at the forefront of American higher education, at the forefront of advancing civil rights and prosperity across the world, we must oppose any kind of crackdown on human rights and civil liberties. The kind of crackdown that the administration and Mike Kotlikoff proposed by trying to change our student code of conduct. As part of the Firewall for Freedom campaign, the ACLU and AIUSA stand with all of us to protect our rights and resist efforts to erode them. I urge all of you on the Student Assembly today to pass Resolution 10 without any sort of amendment and to support MGFC and Alana in pursuing everything that they deserve. Thank you.
Public comment is now over. Chair smile favorably upon a motion to extend the meeting time to 7:45 p.m. Second, is there a dissent? Okay, seeing none, meeting time has been extended. We are now moving into reports of officers, committees, and liaisons. We'll begin with the Finance Committee's proposal for Alana. Just as a warning to the people in the room, if we do have to go into specifics about financials, unfortunately, we have to go into a closed segment and executive session, which means that you have to leave the room. You can come back in when it's over. We cannot conduct business. We cannot vote without the executive session being over. However, to discuss finances, we are all under NDA, and you must leave the room. So if that happens, unfortunately, you have to leave, but that is not what's happening yet. Anyway, Vice President Watkins, you go to the front. Sheena or anyone else on the Alana e-board still present? You can come to the front as well, if you'd like.
Just to give a rundown as a reminder of how we're going to go through these recommendations, since all three organizations today are petitioning, I'm going to read the recommendation in full from the Finance Committee, and then I will read the organization's petition. And if we feel we need to enter executive session to discuss their finances, we'll do that as well. So first, starting with the Alana Intercultural Board recommendation. In a vote of 6-5-0, the Finance Committee recommends funding the Alana Intercultural Board at 990 for the 2026-2028 staff allocation cycle. This is a decrease of approximately 29.29%. Alana requested an increased allocation of $16. In previous SAF allocation cycles, Alana received $12.63 and $14 for 2024 to 2025 and 2025 to 2026, respectively. In the 2022 to 2024 SAF allocation cycle, Alana received $20. Alana is a supplementary funding board. Alana sponsors 138 total organizations, but the organization funds 5 major organizations: Black Students United, or BSU, Cornell Asian Pacific Student Union, or CAPSU, Native American and Indigenous Students at Cornell, or NISAC, La Asociación Latina, or LAL, and the South Asian Council, or SAC. However, due to some organizational miscommunications between previous Alana executive boards and their previous advisor, Alana has assumed the role of primary funding board for some organizations. Nearly half of Alana sponsored groups do not receive funding from a primary funding board. I would like to make a note here. After speaking to Student Campus Life, we did discover that this was actually not true. And that was just a miscommunication, like all of our parts. So. Previously, the Multicultural Community Fueled Activities Board, or MCFAB, was under Alana, but left the umbrella to become its own organization. This explains a significant factor in Alana's funding decrease from the 2022 to 2024 SAF to the 2024 to 2025 and 2025 to 2026 SAF. Alana is composed of an executive board who is working to assume more responsibilities regarding funding. Alana offers baseline funding for organizations while also providing for events, funding for events on Cornell's campus. Alana is also working to host more events specifically tied to Alana to form connections with students. Alana asks for assistance from the Student Assembly in communicating guidelines regarding byline funding. Alana notes many organizations were not previously aware of guidelines from the Student Assembly, and Alana feels that the Student Assembly can take a more active role in the future so organizations are not caught off guard when guidelines are implemented. Alana directly addressed many concerns within the Finance Committee regarding the organization's structure. Alana's executive board seeks to gain more control of what organizations are permitted to receive byline funding and how much funding each organization can receive. The Student Assembly members of the Finance Committee also hope to work with Alana to help reorganize the organization by ensuring eligible organizations receive funding from a primary funding board. Overall, the Finance Committee reaches the recommended allocation of 990 because the Finance Committee believes primary funding boards, specifically the Student Activities Funding Commission, or SAFC, can take a greater responsibility in funding Alana organizations. The Finance Committee believes some dramatic reorganization regarding who is providing funding to organizations will lead to a lesser burden on Alana. The Finance Committee's hope for the reduction is that organizations currently receiving funding from Alana will face minimal changes. The Finance Committee did not vote to reduce Alana's funding with the goal of substantially reducing programming for Alana-sponsored organizations. Rather, the Finance Committee hopes to inspire reorganization between funding boards. The Vice President for Finance will work with Alana and primary funding boards to ensure Alana organizations are protected as best as possible. Considering all the factors of Alana, the Finance Committee feels that a decrease in 410 to 990 is appropriate for the organization to continue to support the Cornell community. Now we will read their petition. Alana strongly opposes the Finance Committee's recommendation to reduce the Alana Intercultural Funding and Programming Board's allocation to 990 for the 2026 to 2028 student activity fee cycle, a 29.29% decrease from our current $14 allocation. This decision undermines the essential role Alana plays in fostering community, equity, and belonging at Cornell. Alana has not received such a low allocation in the last 6 years, and cutting us to 990 would reverse years of institutional recognition of our importance. At a time when students need organizational activity are only increasing, it would take us multiple byline cycles to return to the allocation of $14, which we hold for fiscal year 24 to 25, fracturing our funding capacity for many years to come.